under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to your calling in. And lest I forget it, let me remind you early on, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines. We'll introduce our special guest for today and invite you to call and join in the dialogue and discussion that I believe is very timely. We're going to be talking about today, no place to hide, no place to be safe, no safe place in America today and or around the world. And that's not said now as a very negative, pessimistic statement, but it's said as fact. We've all noticed what is taking place in relationship to the Islamic jihadists, and they're rising up, not only in the UK, not only in Europe, not only in Australia, not only in parts of Africa, but around the globe. And right here in the United States of America, we're witnessing the rising up, the standing up, and making demands by the Islamic jihadists. So what's the cause of that? What's brought all of this about? How have we gotten to the place that we have gotten to today in the United States of America? We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about with our guest today. What's the answer? What do we do in relationship to the security and the safety of America? Is there such a thing as a safe place in our nation today? And I'll say early on, I don't think there's a safe place in America. I think that we have witnessed what is taking place in Australia, what is taking place in Germany, what's taken place recently in America, and we're understanding that there is a major, major, major problem. And God's the only answer. We need to recognize that the Scripture warns us in the Second Timothy chapter 3 has warned us, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And the Scripture goes forward then with the characteristics of what we find in a perilous time. And I believe that's where we are today. And where the Scripture says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." May I say, perilous times have arrived. They're present today. And so I have to ask the question, what is taking place and what's God doing and what we should do in relationship to the safety and security in the United States of America. May I say to you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's what I call the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God: "Thy word is truth." So I call it the truth book. In fact, in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Now, that's a pretty lengthy period of time. And for those that do not know what forever means, it means forever, endless without end. So, ladies and gentlemen, we know that truth is necessary, but we're finding today, just as Orwell said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, and by the way, that was published back in 1947, 48, and 49, but it was entitled in 1984, and he was projecting what America would be like in 1984. And this is one of his prominent statements, George Orwell I'm speaking of. He's a secularist. I'm not bragging on who he was, but he made a pretty profound statement. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be a profound statement, but very, very real even today. We find today, and in fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a statement. Headline I'm looking at of DeMint's. DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. This is what he says in part. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have spoken it better myself. Look at another headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. In part, the article reads this way. America's institutions are suffering from a collapse of public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. Further in the article, it says, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their root in higher education. And there is no more serious problem than the notion fashionable in academia today and for decades that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. And ladies and gentlemen, a sad factor, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials today, 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth, that there is no such thing as absolute truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on Let's Face the Issues, that we seek the truth, learn it, love it, listen to it, tell it, and defend it even to death. That is my challenge each and every day. And I believe as Christians, we need to be the watchman on the wall, warning and warning and warning some more of where we're headed as a nation in relationship to the dangers. And I'm using the term, by the way, no safe place. I didn't originate that term. On the Hannity show, it was either Hannity or Waters show, Jesse Waters, that an interview with Newt Gingrich. And Newt Gingrich made the statement, we're discovering that globally there is no safe place. It's a profound statement, and I believe that's to be a fact today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full individual landscape lawn care equipment, as well as for the professional. They carry the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. They can answer your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291-11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how did I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in opening the broadcast today, I simply want to bring to our attention some of the things that's taking place that I believe we need to look at and then answer a question, ask it and answer it. We're going to look at some of the situations, some of the conditions that we find in America today, and then we'll ask the question, what do we do about it? How do we resolve it? What is the origin of it, and how did it get to the point and place that it is in America today? I'm looking at a headline that says, Moderate Muslim Democrat Socialist Mandami reveals venom as his fans openly call for Sharia law in New York City. I don't know what you will think, what you think. Sharia law simply means Islamic law. It is a law that's carried out by the Islamic jihadist textbook, if you will. It is called the Quran. In fact, may I say this, tuck it in at this moment. You recall 9/11. After 9/11, the FBI commissioned an investigatory team that did the research and published a large, about 500-page document called The Book on Their Discovery in 2006. And the bottom line was, when the question was asked, what caused the 19 jihadists to come in to America and try to destroy our nation with the blowing up of the buildings and flying into the Twin Towers? And the answer that the FBI determined at that time was that they read the Quran, they believed the Quran, and carried out the Quran. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a powerful statement, but that's a true statement. And I believe we need to realize that we have those embedded in America today. It seems to be no safe place. And it's not just for America, it's globally. In fact, just a moment ago, I was talking with our guest before we came on the air, and we were talking about the fact that I reckon it's been 20 years ago now, I started saying, if you want to know where America's going, look at what is taking place then and now in the U.K., In the U.K., just recently, a preacher, a pastor, was caught, tried, convicted, and sentenced to 4 years. And what was his crime? Simply on Facebook, or whatever the social media was in his area, social media, he stated that he was concerned about the Islamic takeover in the U.K. And as a result of that, he was prosecuted and sentenced to 4 years in jail. Recently, a lady in Europe made a profound statement. She publicly said that Europe is a Christian nation. And because she said that, she is now being prosecuted for making a statement that they claim is not true. Why is it not true? Simply because we're looking at an Islamic rising, Islamic takeover. But ladies and gentlemen, just recently, Brown University, by the way, Brown University has got an $8 billion endowment. And yet the cost is about $70,000 a year for a student to go to that school. It's viewed as one of the most prestigious schools in America. And yet they have that massive amount of money. They claim they have about 600 cameras, I believe it is, covering the whole campus. But yet when the Islamic jihadists went in and started shooting, and I believe they killed, two people and injured some 15 or 20 other students. And the Islamic jihadist, when he went in and started shooting, screamed something. And now the police department, which is about as worthless as a $3 bill in Rhode Island, when they did the interview and a media person asked the question, what did that person say just before he started shooting? And the police chief said, well, we understand something was said, but we're not certain what he said yet. We're investigating that. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the witnesses said he screamed, Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar simply means Allah is the greatest of all gods. And that was the scream that's normally heard from any Islamic jihadist that's attempting to take over and destroy. By the way, Islam means submission. And the goal of Islam since the 7th century is to take over and dominate the nations around the globe. And in Islamic thinking and under Sharia law, the mindset is either you bow, you bend, you submit, or we will kill you. And that's where it's headed around the globe today. The screaming of Allah Akbar, declaring that Allah is the greatest of all gods. Then we have, ladies and gentlemen, witness the shooting of the two National Guardsmen by an Islamic jihadist. We have also witnessed the slaughter of 15 Jews and the injury of about 40 others in Australia. Ladies and gentlemen, we know the government in Australia has been against Israel. We know the government in Australia just 2-3 months ago declared that the Arabs, the Palestinians as they call themselves, in Israel, is to be a separate state, a two-state solution with the Palestinian state. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if you can tolerate me just being perfectly plain, I believe it's as a result of that brought on the emboldenment, if you please, of the Islamic jihadist in the nation of Australia to go in. And at the first evening of Hanukkah, where the Jewish people are celebrating out on the beach at beach called Bondi, they were there celebrating the first evening of Hanukkah. And these Islamic jihadists, two of them, 50-year-old man and his son, slaughtered 15 unsuspecting people, Jewish people. Why did they do that? Just because they're Jewish. Just because they're Jewish. Listen, Islam hates the Christian. Islam hates the Jewish people. Islam is now rising up and taking a stand on a global basis. Thus, I'm saying there's no safe place in America or around the globe. We're all in a position of facing that. So, ladies and gentlemen, What's the answer? If we're not safe any place, if we're not safe, there's no safety in America, there's no safety around the world. And by the way, the FBI just mentioned the fact that they had interdicted 4 Islamic jihadists in Germany that had made bombs and had designated places that they were going to detonate the bombs on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. They were planning an uprising there. And by the way, today in Europe, it's controlled by Islam. Today in Germany, it's controlled by Islam. Today in France, it's controlled by Islam. Today in the Netherlands, it's controlled by Islam. Today in the northern half of the continent of Africa, it's controlled by Islam. And I could go on and on and on. With the Islamic Somalians in Minnesota, it has been controlled for years now by the Islamic jihadists that is there in the nation, there in that part of the world. And right now, there's been declared a foothold in New York City by Mondami being elected. And as a result of that, there's an article that I read just the other day. It talked about the fact that Islam has planted its feet and has taken over control of America through taking the primary position of mayor in the city of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding a major, major problem in America. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the situation that makes it no safe place around the globe, and especially here in America. So, ladies and gentlemen, how do we get to the root of this? Where's the starting point for us to find what we need to do? Well, you know, Auto Pen Biden allowed 20 to 25 million, that is some say 10 to 12 million. I say that it's between 20 and 25 million. Islamic jihadists, for the most part, came across the southern border with an open invitation from Sleepy Joe Biden. And we have those now that have infiltrated all parts of the United States of America. And I believe that it makes it impossible for us to carry out the task of being Americans and having a safe place when there's no safe place when that is taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, just another footnote. 2 of our congressmen, I believe Ron Johnson is one, and cannot call the name of the other, just recently in the past 60 days introduced legislation that will make it illegal for an Islamic to come in by immigration into America because they do not assimilate. They want to colonize, and colonization simply means they have their own pod, their own group, their own laws, their own rules, regulations, and totally abandon, jettison anything that's called American law, American jurisprudence. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do we do with that? How do we respond to it? Today, we have a legal immigrant, about 60-year immigrant from Cuba, Derby Ulloa.
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 Good.
One day I learned to pronounce that, Derby. Ulloa, that's with us, and he's going to talk about this fact, about immigration, what's wrong, and what we should do, and how it should be resolved. Derby, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a blessing, a pleasure, and a joy to have you on the air with us. So if you would introduce something about yourself, something about your legal immigration, when, what, and how, and then we'll go further with the conversation.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I will start by saying what I said last time I was here. I am not running for office. I am not looking for a job. And I am not selling anything. I speak from the bottom of my heart. If you like it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. But if I offend a communist, liberal, democrat, or a rhino, then that makes me happy. I must be doing a good job.
That means you've said the right thing, if that does it.
Yes. You asked me about my background. I came from Cuba in 1960 at age 15, not as an immigrant, but as a tourist, and I will explain that later. My mother didn't want my two brothers and me to grow up under communism, so she decided to send us to the U.S. temporarily and then come back. Well, I didn't want to come to the U.S. I was very happy in Cuba. In Cuba, I had everything. And in fact, let me tell you that in the 1950s, whatever your parents or grandparents, whatever Americans had in the U.S., Cubans had in Cuba. My parents had in Cuba. But now let me tell you, the U.S. is the greatest country in the world, but in some very small ways, Cuba was better. Ha! That's a Cuban commercial. Yeah. Well, in the 50s in Cuba, we didn't have black schools, black churches, black beaches, black water fountains. Everybody was treated exactly the same. Mm-hmm. No segregation in Cuba. Another little point, at school, when class ended and the bell rang, the girls walked out first, mm-hmm. and then the boys. Mm-hmm. That's old-fashioned Latin chivalry. Now, citizenship. It's right now too easy to get and too difficult to remove. And something very important that I want to say. When I was a guest in this country, I was always very thankful, appreciative, respectful, and obedient mm-hmm. of all the laws in the USA, not just the ones that I liked. I recall every year I filled out a card. I got the card from the post office and returned it, saying where I lived, what I was doing for a living. I didn't complain. So I was very happy. In 1960, things were very different in the U.S. That's when I came from Cuba. Of course, illegal immigration was not there. It was very small compared to today. And there was no path to citizenship except going through the long process. In the 60s, in 1960, visitors, tourists, students had to be self-supported. No government aid for anybody. When I came here from Cuba, my parents sent us money to pay for our living expenses. In 1960, there were no documents written in a language other than English. The government agencies didn't provide translators. And I never saw a Mexican running behind a garbage truck dumping the trash. They were black and white people.
Mm-hmm. Debbie, hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, and the young man that's talking to you, I'll tell you, the Democrats get in power, that's it. Because the word of the Lord said that the whole world will be against Israel. They didn't say that the United States will help them. The whole world. And the way this country is going now, I just pray that God intervenes, because we're going on a slippery slope. And I think the Democrats think that they can handle these illegals that are coming in from Iran, Iraq, in the Middle East, period. But they're going to be totally surprised when they turn around and stab them in the back. Look at New York.
Absolutely. One of the things, Derby, that you're saying, it's found in the text in Zechariah that the whole world is going to be against Israel. And we're watching the stand-up of that today. We're witnessing and watching that taking place on a very rapid pace. My question to you that I would like for you to ask, and then we'll ask Derby to respond to it. What role do you think immigration plays in what we're witnessing today? Is it a problem with immigration that's causing this, or is it some other problem?
Dr. Youngblood, I know you say auto-paying Biden, but I believe in my heart of hearts, Obama, because he always said it's going to be a great reset, a new reset. I forgot exactly how he said it.
He's going to transform America, is what he said. And what he started doing then was carried out to a large extent through auto-paying Biden. And I believe very frankly that it's the immigration problem that's caused this, because it's not legal immigration that Derby's talking about that's the problem.
Right.
It's the illegal crossing
the
border.
Yes.
Illegal immigration. Derby, what do you say to Kenneth's thoughts and questions in relationship to it? Do we have an immigration problem? Do you think that's the source of what we're seeing today in America?
Of course, it is an immigration problem. This country was founded by immigrants, but legal immigrants, not illegal. Mm-hmm. So if you're illegal, we don't want you. I don't care what you think.
Canada deserves our prayer, our attention, and when we recognize what's taking place today with the Islamic jihadist on a global basis, and I use the term that I'm quoting from Newt Gingrich when he said, no safe place, I believe that's a, how would you say, a major, major siren taking place today that should get our attention and recognize where we're headed as a nation, lest we do something about it immediately to quell the illegal immigration that's coming into America. Trump is doing all he can. Trump is trying, but there's about 500, I believe, 586 suits been filed against the Trump administration where the courts now have decided they're going to be the stronger of the three departments, if you please, three branches of government. And as a result of that, the courts are trying to make the decision, blocking him from doing all that he's wanting to do to protect America. And I believe we see the courts, each and every one, for the most part, with Obama or Biden's appointees, just like Ketanji Jackson, as Supreme Court Justice, they cannot tell you what a woman is, and she is absolutely for open borders and for anyone to come in, even though it's illegal to come in to America. So it deserves our prayer and our attention. And Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Derby, what say you in relationship to what we're finding? I'm looking at a headline that says, Trump-backed candidate refutes promise Muslims will control America. They're saying that they'll control, but Trump says, no, that's, that candidate says, no, that's not right. Muslims are not going to control America. And I'll ask you to just interrupt your chain of thought for a moment. And do we find the potentiality that Islam is on its journey on global domination, and right now America is in the pathway of that, that we will see the domination in America? Is it possible? Demographers said in 2009 that by 2050, America would be Islamic. Recently, an update was made on that that said by 2040, America would be an Islamic nation. What say you? Do you see immigration as the problem, as you were talking about? What is the answer to it? Let's do a fast track to that.
Okay. I did some research. In 1960, when I came to this country, there were roughly 10 to 30,000 Muslims in the U.S. Mm-hmm. In 1960. The U.S. population was 190 million. Today, the Muslim population is 4.5 million. Mm-hmm. That is an increase of 15,000%.
Yes.
When you grow that much, of course you will take over. Between 1960 and today, the U.S. population has grown by only 178%. Mm-hmm. Compare that to 15,000%.
What brings that about? Is it based on number of children in the family? Is that part of it? Speak to that issue.
Sure. Muslims have more children than European Caucasians. Mm-hmm. So it will be controlled by Muslims. We are well on the way to being conquered.
Absolutely.
That's Muslims come here not to emigrate, to assimilate, but to colonize and conquer. And before you know it, we'll be just like any place in Europe where Muslims take over, and in England is lost. So I checked the websites, and the same thing is happening in Spain, Germany, France.
Absolutely.
The people do not want more Muslims, but the politicians are the ones who bring them in. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for the people without guns to fight their government.
Absolutely, and we're witnessing that not just in the all of Europe and those areas that we spoke of, but we're witnessing that today in America. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I've said in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? I've said that once an Islamic population gets between 2 and 6%, they will rise up and take control. We need to understand that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do the top of the hour news. Right after the news break, we'll be right back. Let's face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange.